Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
From listening to certain operas or certain musicals or certain songs, or I remember reading about a lady that said that as long as she can visit the art museum and look at some of the great paintings that she loved on a regular basis, it would help her feel better. You know, they say, and this might be a different subject, but it still relates, that the elderly can live up to 3 years longer just if they have a pet. A cat or dog or something else that they can have as a companion. They don't feel so alone. It reduces their blood pressure, reduces the psychological stress. It reduces just the feeling of loneliness because, you know, you can relate to an animal and you can talk to it. It can help you out with things. And I think that art in many ways can also aid people. I'm not suggesting that it cures everything, but it can be a tool, you know, in your box of things to help yourself, especially if you got your blue days or maybe if you're dealing with something that's a little bit more pronounced, a little bit more prolonged, it could be a real aid, you know, to your serenity and your security. So I also wanted to share with you a few stories I come across by dealing with this. I was in a class once, teaching some of my ideas about using small phrases and poems and nothing too grand, because you know, you can't like share a novel with somebody in a short period of time and have any kind of real impact, and you're certainly not going to be able to really employ somebody to write a novel and share it with the whole class and get something from that. The whole point of using anything on the artistic level is it's something that needs to be short and brief, something that they can tackle, you know, in a short period of time, and maybe from that gain some insight on some of the things that they're dealing with. Because what art does for people who have problems with various forms of trauma, it doesn't even necessarily be a military battle trauma. It could be trauma from a terrible weather event, like a tornado or a hurricane, or it could be the trauma of, you know, surviving an incredible accident with a car or being buried under rubble in a building that collapsed. Or it could be the horrible trauma of rape. I've been a very active component, actually, of wanting to see more of this type of therapy out into places that deal with folks that have to deal with the trauma of rape. So they're just not always just shoving a pill in them or putting them on the couch someplace or, you know, putting them in the karate class. And I'm not saying any of those things are not useful. And they are. You might have to use all of them depending on your situation. But let's not rule out, you know, some writing and some art therapy as well as another mechanism to help a person get back, you know, their dignity and their self-esteem and just get back to who they were before the trauma happened. So I'm dealing with this younger veteran who was separated from the service, maybe not even like a year from when I first encountered to him. And he was dealing with a few things that he had encountered in the field. And he just wasn't so big on wanting to open up to anyone about it. So his family encouraged him to get over to the center to see what we can do. I think he did see a psychiatrist, and you know, naturally they want to put him on the most powerful medications on the planet, but not really fully understanding what he's dealing with. So this is what I have a problem with, though. Those things, they have a place in therapy and in treating people who have traumatic issues, but just don't see somebody for 25 minutes and you're writing a prescription and you don't even understand what's going on with them. I don't see how this is supposed to help. Because what do they really do? Mask symptoms? Sedate somebody? I don't see how it does anything to help people unless you're tackling what really is going on. Is it bringing that out? Usually it's not. So that's why I'm skeptical of those things. I really am. I know they have a place, but I just don't think they're the first place. So I'm talking with this fellow, and I can already tell, you know, from his body language that he, you know, he's very apprehensive. He's not interested in like telling all his dark secrets. This is fine. One of the best things to do about art, especially with writing, is it becomes like a gateway for you to maybe start learning what's bothering you, learning how to get out your message, your story, you know, your hurt, your trauma, what has damaged you. You know, it's like a confessional tool, so to speak. And I don't know if you know the quaint cliche about, you know, confession is good for a soul. Well, guess what? There's a lot of cliches out there that have a real grain of truth to them or more. So they might sound a little passe and old-fashioned and even corny, but that's fine. Some of them have real truth to them, and we should learn to take those things seriously. And I'm telling you, confession is good for your soul. It's critically important, actually, in the whole, I guess you could say, return of from where you were at as your trauma. It helps you return to where you were before. Now, I'm not saying that you go back exactly to who you were, because I think when trauma occurs to a person, there's damage there. And even when the damage is learned, and even when it's dealt with, and even when it heals, it doesn't mean that really you're that same person again. You have changed a bit. The whole point is to not make you change to somebody who you don't want to be, or somebody that nobody wants to be around. You know, you just want to try to learn from it and then you move on and try to have a, you know, your life again. So that's what I mean by that. And writing can do that. And so what I did with this fellow is I tried to help him the best I can by writing some poems and showing him a few examples of mine on where certain elements of my inside life or my thoughts about things or maybe how I grew up or even things I did in the service, how they had an impact on me and how sometimes it was necessary to either talk to somebody or write it out and, you know, and try to get it in front of me, because that's the whole point. When it's inside of you, it's not really in front in your brain or in your eyes. I know it sounds like a weird metaphor, but it's like you have to bring that thing that's inside you, whether that thing is hurt or damaged or dark or whatever you want to call it. It's there, and until it comes out, you can't really deal with it, because you can't look at it and say, okay, there you are. Now, what can we do about you? Because you're there now. You didn't ask to be there. I certainly didn't ask you to be there. But we need to figure out a way to if not defeat you, lessen you, accommodate you, I don't know, eradicate you. It depends on, I guess, the depth of it. But nevertheless, something has to be done, because you, as you are inside of me, or in this case, inside of him, is not acceptable, because it is altering the person that I want to be. Or maybe even more importantly, because you get upset about the whole thing, is it's altering the person that I used to be. Now I'm somebody else. I don't even recognize who that person is. So that's what art therapy in general can do. It can become an instrument for confession, to help bring that stuff out of the person. Over the course of weeks of talking to this person and reading what they had to write and everything, I had a much better idea about what he was dealing with. And even though I don't name names, and even though I don't try to get too specific with some of these things, not of fear that someone's going to listen to the show and get upset. Just if you're doing these things in private, you know, you only can get so much educational value out by talking about it in public. So all I can really tell you is that that person, and this happens to lots of people, they simply hesitated in a situation of a combat nature, and things happen that may or might not have been their fault, but the hesitation, you know, it caused them to feel aggrieved. It caused them to feel an enormous amount of guilt, and even though they got over that hesitation and went on. To do their job, and this is the incredible irony, this is a person who is a medal winner, which means that they did their job, they got their medal, And God bless them. I'm glad they're out there. I'm a veteran myself, so I understand this. But they still felt that they didn't give their all. And this is not a HBO movie here. They should just move on. And they did their part, and what a hero they are. It doesn't matter what you say they are or what you think they are, because in the end, what matters is what they feel that they are. And in this case, this man's nation has given him a medal, says he's a hero. He's in the clinic with me, and he's not feeling to be a hero. He's feeling a failure. He's feeling, without using too strong of the word, he's feeling like a coward because of the hesitation that he had. We never got through all of the details about this hesitation, because sometimes it's not necessary to know. Once you have a good idea of the general direction of what this person's feeling, what they're dealing with, it wasn't too hard to understand at that point. You don't need every little tiny detail. Like I said, this is not an HBO movie. But it gave me enough of a grasp of what he was trying to go through and what he was feeling and how important it was for him to try to work that out. Work it out through his writing, work it out through his family the best that he can. If he had a pastor or a priest or a rabbi, let's go work it out a little bit with them. Nothing wrong with that at all. But I really did not want to go with this person without having some kind of tool, some kind of path, some kind of method for him to start addressing it on a regular basis, because I was concerned that a person like that, if they did not let that go, it was gonna destroy them eventually. As a person like that, if they don't get some help, they're gonna seek it, through alcohol, drugs, or they're gonna get hooked on all those crazy pills that, again, you can see in this particular example, they would never have helped him. You think some pill that partially sedates you or, tries to relieve some stress, you think that actually unravels and solves what we're talking about here? It doesn't. Talking to the person and trying to figure it out, that's what does it. And I don't have a PhD in this sort of thing, so it's amazing how I can be more of an aid to him using writing and using art than somebody who's supposed to be a 25-year-old doctor and 25 years of experience. And I'm not really sure what that person is doing on a regular basis. I mean, so I'm not going to characterize all these doctors as this particular situation, but I can know from this situation that 25 minutes, a bunch of questions, and then you're writing a prescription for some powerful psychotropic drug. I don't see how that's supposed to be useful. In fact, I don't really see how that's even medical. I think that more should be done, more should be asked, more should be weighed before you go around dispensing that kind of stuff. I mean, to me, it almost seemed like a legal formality. Okay, I got enough stuff in my notes here, so now I can give them this drug and I can go home. I mean, I don't see how it's helpful. And it's why a lot of these people don't get any help, because the help they're getting isn't helping. So you think they're going someplace to get something. And yeah, they are going someplace, and it still doesn't do any good. I'm very glad to report that person was able, through months and months of learning about his situation and understanding where he felt at fault and where he didn't, he was able to start learning to put that into better context and understand that everybody does that. He recovered from that. He went on well. He did his job. He saved lives, and that's all you can say about somebody. I mean, whether or not he cost lives, which I'm sure that was part of what he was dealing with, I don't know. And I don't even know if he knows. It just could have been a guess from him or not. It's hard to know if that was the case or not. But I do know that's another life saved through what we do as writers and as artists and as people, that if you want to care about somebody, you can use this to help somebody to a great advantage to not only the arts itself, but, humanity and society. And there's no better person to help than somebody that really don't deserve the kind of damage that they received, especially when they are people that are putting their lives on the line for their country. And so there's no greater, I feel, joy than to be able to help somebody from doing that. And I think it's an excellent example of using art as therapy. I know that in other regions of the world, this can also be used and has been used in a lot of interesting and even strange ways. I'll give you a really good example, okay? There was an African nation that had gone through a civil war. And through that civil war, lots of women were raped. They were raped by either the soldiers of supposedly the good government side, and then some of them were raped by some of the rebel soldiers. I don't know if you realize it or not, but most wars don't necessarily have a good or a bad side. Usually they're all bad. And when it comes to a civil war, nobody really knows who's the good and who's the bad. I mean, we're still arguing about our own civil war 100 and something years later. Well, who was good? Who was bad? I'm not to say that the South, because they were slaveholders, somehow they were good, because they were not. But the North and its actions and oftentimes the destruction and theft and rape and some of this, the outright war crimes that they also committed as well, don't exactly, put them up there, you know, as saints either. So you got a lot of bad on both sides of almost all of these civil wars. And in this case, that was a real additional trauma, because you got somebody that getting raped, and they wasn't expecting that was going to come from so-called good government soldier that they're supporting. They're supposed to be happening to the so-called bad people who are coming. Well, and that's what was happening a lot over there. And someone had thought, yeah, let's use various forms of art when they were in like a classroom setting to try to help some of these folks. Because unlike a regular society that's not ongoing some kind of a war, it's not like you're putting together a rape kit and a detailed sketch and getting the police out. That's not happening in that situation. Everybody's shooting each other all over the place. So nobody's going to be investigating your rape. Simply not going to happen. Which, of course, is an additional trauma amongst all the other ones. Oh, great. I get raped by the guys that's supposed to be good. No one's going to investigate it and do anything. And then what am I supposed to do? So someone came up with like a treatment plan in like a recreation center or something, where they started using various forms of art therapy. Sometimes people women were painting things to try to understand their trauma and some of the feelings they had going through it all. Sometimes they were using, writing and poems. Some who already knew how to play an instrument were trying to like compose things and, to help them learn and get through it. Well, someone came along with an idea, and they themselves didn't invent it, because nobody there was an application, a software type of person, but they passed along to somebody who had came to try to lend some sort of support, wanting to know if some kind of computer graphic thing could also be useful on rape trauma. And who knows if it can be or not, but it's a wonderful gesture to try to do something. But guess what? They passed along to somebody else, and they came along with like a rape app. And basically what happens is that you do your best to put as much information as you can remember, about this rapist into this app, and it goes into a central database. And what would happen was as more and more of these soldiers were either caught or killed or put themselves into hospitals and stuff, you might have a chance to identify this person. And oftentimes it's a good chance that, even DNA could help, because even though they didn't have the speed or the structure or the process or even the actual kits themselves, the rape kits that are really necessary to help, gather some DNA, the skin from under the fingernails and oftentimes stuff they might have ripped off the rapist or even hair, some of that stuff would still be able to be saved, and they were able to use that in this rape app, and they were able to actually capture people and prosecute them. And when that civil war had ended, that's what they were doing all over the place. They were just simply catching these people left and right, especially if some of them were up for war crimes. On top of that, they're already in jail, so now you can figure out if they've done something that is out as well. So lots of people were getting justice through that. And don't get me wrong, even though art therapy is very important to help somebody, I am sure is the day is long, that if you can get some justice, I mean, that's also a good form of therapy too, that person is no longer out there hurting other people, and they're gonna pay for what they did to you. So there is another amazing and incredible example, it really is, of gaining therapy just through art and all the different forms it happens. That thing might have never been thought about or invented or even proposed if people didn't get together, trade information, trade stories, try to help each other out through a horrible, horrible circumstance, so that they, in the end, you know, can leave that center every day knowing that maybe that's another day that they're chipping away at this and they're going to get better and they can move on. You know, sometimes I think women in America, they forget and they take for granted so many of the wonderful things they have here. Not understanding, in a lot of countries, if you get raped, oftentimes it's almost like a cultural offense that you're in trouble for. Like somehow you did something. Sometimes people don't want to marry you because you were raped. Sometimes they have doctors over there. They wouldn't treat you because somehow you're offending them. I mean, I know it sounds incredible and certainly horribly unfair, but that's a real reality that women have to face around the world in a lot of different cultures. You know, so in America, you have a good chance that, you know, we're going to be able to help you and maybe even catch that person, but you don't have a society that's suddenly going to say that you got raped from no fault of your own and not for the rest of your life. You got to be a spinster somewhere in the corner, you know? And of course, hopefully as time goes by and people take more, I guess you could say, action in their own lives, that can change as well. And you have to wish you the very best for people like that, because none of that is any fault of their own, and they certainly don't deserve to have their entire life, you know, destroyed or put to the side because of something that, you know, they didn't cause. You know, quite frankly, if anybody deserves anything, blame is, you know, the war itself, and maybe even the society that helped create that war, but not those people that have been harmed, that have nothing to do with it. So let's keep that in mind, that when you have trauma, when you have depression, you have sometimes even an injury. You know, they say that when people have visitations at the hospital, and I'm not talking about people who have trauma and any things we're talking about. That's just a basic surgery. Let's say you're having a gallbladder surgery or something, okay? That it could be a very scary moment. It could also be a depressing moment. It might be temporary, but you know, you got 4 days of fear. Trust me, it don't feel like 4 days. It feels like 4 years. And that person's never been in a hospital before. Maybe they've never had any kind of illness before. Now it's becoming a terrifying event. They think the world is going to end. Having visitations from people. Listening to a soothing a song or a couple of really great poems to lift your spirits. Even religious texts that emphasize, you know, a faith and charity and good works and all of that. These things do have an impact. They have an impact on helping to speed a person's healing process. And some of that might literally be about the mind having a real control over the body. And if you can ease the mind, maybe the body heals better. Maybe the body responds better after surgery or even before surgery. So that's why many a times in hospitals, they try to encourage all of that as much as they're able to. You know, you still have to have some restrictions in terms of the time and all that, because remember, the more people you let in that place when people are sick, the more you can introduce stuff, or maybe even stuff can leave there and go out there outside. So I know you have to have some security and some safety concerns, and that's fine. But they think they understand for quite some time now that visitations and personal interactions and art and anything. I mean, I think they used to have like magicians and clowns come in sometimes for some of the kids that are facing some rough things, because it just brings your spirit up. And so it's necessary. That's why you're not going to find hospitals that don't have a chapel or hospitals that don't have some kind of volunteer element of that on a regular basis to bring some real emotional relief to people. Because again, That's what art is, and that's what art therapy can be, a type of a release and a relief. You know, maybe a release from the person that created it and possibly a relief from somebody that's hearing about it. Hey, here's this poem. Let's sit down. Let me regale this to you and say what you think. You know, I knew a lady that did that. She just literally, that's literally how she did it. Hey, I'm here to visit somebody, and I got this really wonderful poem I'd like to read to you if you don't mind. And she sat down, and it all seems like, you know, she just wanted in to do that. But it was all her plan to be able to help people, and she just did it in such a casual way, in such a way that seemed more, I guess you could say, nonchalant and relaxed. It wasn't anything forceful. It wasn't anything that would seem structured or even stiff. It was just something that was smooth. And she'd just read the poem. And the person listening, believe me, it doesn't matter if that person listening, audience, okay, understands anything you're saying. It doesn't matter. You could use vocabulary that they don't even know what you're saying. The point is that you get their attention off of their negative thoughts, even off of the condition that they're dealing with right now. You get them off of that. You get them someplace else. You're already doing a very good deed, and you're doing something important that could even be medically beneficiary for them, just through a poem, just through a song, a simple song. You don't even have to have an instrument. You could just sing it and not even have a good voice. But again, you take people's attention off some of that stuff they're dealing with. I always find, this is going to probably be funny to say, but I always find that hospitals are like just a weird paradox, because you're there more times than not alone in that bed. Yeah, a nurse visits you now and then. I don't know. When you're in a bed for a long time, trust me, being visited every 4 hours, it'll probably seem like a week. And then you're there for the most part of the day, of that 24 hours, you're alone. I mean, you get a couple visitations from nurses. You may have a couple friends or family visit. But in the most part, it's the most time that you're really going to be alone when you're stuck in there. So for some people, it's not hard to see or understand that they might feel that it's some sort of a punishment or prison, or they're a hostage to the hospital or something. It's not hard to understand. I mean, you got people sometimes, they rip the IV out of their arm. They walk down the floor of that hall, their butt hanging out because of those horrible things they put on you. And they don't care, because just to get some air, just to walk around, just to sneak a candy bar out of the machine down the hall is a whole lot better than just sitting there and listening to some crappy news on a TV that may or may not work in your room, or possibly try to like concentrate on reading a magazine or a book. And it can even be hard to do that. That's why the interaction with somebody is so important. It might even be life-saving in many instances, because there's something magical about having a person there when you're alone. I'm telling you, I've known people that they didn't even get along well, and they wound up getting along better and become fast friends afterwards. Somebody that was more casual as a worker from work itself, or maybe even maybe
a rival shows up. A good time for the person to make amends. Use that opportunity to help you. I know it might sound unusual, but unusual things have happened with people who try in the best of their ability to help another person. And I know there's still people out there that are doubtful that the arts can do anything other than be artful. But they can have a healing effect, and they can have a positive influence, and they can even change a person's viewpoint or even a person's direction in life, especially when you come out of a circumstance like that. There's nothing, I found anyway, there's nothing more lonely than being into a situation where you're ill or you're recovering from something, and you're stuck with your thoughts. You're stuck with a place literally full of strangers. I mean, sure, there's strangers that's supposed to be wanting to help you, but nevertheless, it can feel very isolating. It can feel very scary. And whoever comes to your aid, whether you know them or not, whether you like them or not, is still a major benefit. And this is how arts can be a form of therapy. And obviously, I'm not saying it's not all about arts and therapy. I mean, sometimes art is just for art, and not all art can be therapeutic. But there are plenty of instances where you can make it so. I mean, you could write a poem or an essay about a subject that's not all that fascinating to somebody in a hospital bed, but just your presence there and just you reading it and just the act of doing something like that, it still takes the mind off their problems, and maybe they'll even give you back some feedback. Hey, I like that part. I'm not sure about that part. What a great situation. You can create an editor or a proofreader right there on the spot. I'm making a joke out of it, but I'm sure it could happen. I mean, stranger things have happened when people use art in more ways than supposedly it's supposed to be used. More ways than that. I mean, there's right now, there are urban environments that they have a wall they created, and they tell all the people who do all of that spray painting and all that type of art out there, that graffiti, you know, just do it on this place, okay? You still get recognized. It keeps it from harming the rest of the community and defacing it, and we consider it legal, and it's okay. I've known that police departments even sponsor something like this, and companies and cities, and I think it's a great idea. Another idea that is beyond what anyone would have thought of it before, because they looked at the defacing of property and trains. That's a real culprit of this sort of thing, and say, wow, the people have some artistic talent. I just wish they would use it in a way that would be beneficial to the community instead of harming it and hurting its reputation. And that's an excellent idea there that someone had came up with. And I like it because it's positive. It lets the arts come out of the somebody and lets them maybe direct it in a place that's more beneficial. And maybe it can even turn them around, because they could do what they want to do. Maybe they'll change and do something else one day, but at least they're not destroying the image of the community by putting it on places that it shouldn't belong. I think in many aspects of art in itself, it has so many diverse applications. It's just limited to our imagination and maybe even our heart. And what we want to do. I know there's still a group of people out there that don't really want to be involved in that and don't really care. And that's fine, because no one says, as an artist, you're supposed to be helping somebody with your art. You could still just stay in your room and not do anything if that's what you want. Write your stuff, send it out, and don't contact anybody on social media and don't care about anything other than what you're doing. You have a right to do that. We're in a society that's free where you can do that. But I'm telling you that you can do more, you can be more, if you decide to share it beyond what you're trying to do on a regular basis, mailing or emailing, or maybe doing an oral recorded program that you put out there, something beyond a podcast. Some people do these little clips on YouTube, where you just sit there and read something. And nothing wrong with that. It's pretty interesting, actually. But you can do more. If you want to do more, and I encourage people to do more, to step a little bit outside their home, outside of their comfort zone, maybe even outside of their culture. Do something different. It'll change you a bit of how you approach things. You might reach out and make some new friends, and you might help people that are in distress, or maybe they're sick, and you're bringing them some relief and some joy. I think it's extremely important that art has a function more than just art. It could have a social function out there to maybe right some wrongs in society or address some issues like elder abuse in nursing homes or people being turned away at restaurants because they have an autistic child who maybe is a little bit more louder than the rest of us. That's an unfortunate thing, and I know someone had wrote about that, and yeah, sure, something should be done about something like that. There's no reason why somebody should be shooed away and stuck in their home or have them be forced to spend money on a babysitter because somebody in public or even the restaurant people can't handle a little extra noise from a child that's doing their best to try to understand the world and communicate with the condition that they have. It's unbelievable that sort of thing happens, and it should be written about, should be talked about. Why not? That's some of the things that you could be doing to say, hey, this is not right. Obviously, it has a therapeutic effect for art. It has it on ourselves as the creators, and it could have it on people who are listening, too. And remember this, and get this. You don't have to actively go out there with a piece of your art and make it therapeutic on purpose. It could be something that was therapeutic to you, and when you put it out there, it starts becoming therapeutic to other
listening.
People.
Please follow that the can show happen all the time.
Actually, I think it probably happens more than we realize. Because many times when we get things published, it'll have a bio for us, but it doesn't always have contact information. Sometimes it might have links to some of the things we're selling or some other works, but it might not have a way to contact it where somebody can say, hey, this really brightened my day. You know, hey, this helped emphasize something I was thinking about. Or, hey, this is putting a light on something that I hadn't realized was going on in my own community. As I'm telling you, if more people knew in their community that a restaurant was doing that to somebody, they would be outraged. They would say, hey, we're not going to go to some place that's going to act this way. Not at all. Remember, we're consumers. Just as much as we're artists and parents and lovers, we're also consumers of some of these things, and we should not allow horrible behavior to continue without having a response. We should not allow families to be harmed in that fashion. So art can do that. And I encourage it as much as I can possibly can. I know not everybody's the most comfortable with that, and that's fine. But try to do something once in a while. You'll find that it benefits you as well. It's sort of like that whole Christmas theory that the more you give, the better you are, the better you'll feel, and you're changing the world a little bit. It's really the same way, only with art, and you don't have to wait for one day a year to do this. You could do this on a regular basis. I know somebody that's so busy, but this is a priority for them, that they do this maybe once or twice a month. They'll literally pencil in a time or a date or something and go out and do something like this in any way they possibly can, just to be active and different and intervention like in what they're trying to do. I've been noticing more and more now that people are trying to do clever things to promote their work or even their books. I've seen some billboards out and bus stands that mention a person's book and their name and how to get the book. I've seen some poems done that way. I think it's really, really inventive and creative. And if that could be done any kind of decent, cost-effective manner, or even if it could be done through a grant, maybe somebody creates a grant that allows that to happen, and they grab a bunch of these artists and you know, put that out there. The community should know these people live here. They got some work out there. Check this out. As I promise you, it's a lot more interesting. The poetry book from that person maybe you've not heard of, rather than some silly movie that's coming out of Hollywood these days that you've heard already before, or it's disappointing. And quite frankly, especially if it's in the ebook format, I mean, it's probably less expensive than any movie you're going to see that's just going to disappoint you. So why not? I mean, if you think about the average concert, I mean, you could probably get 10 ebooks for just a basic price. So there's a lot of wonderful things that we can offer in a cost-effective manner, in a manner that accommodates a person's budget. And I also think it's a way of a social type of therapy to get our word out there, to get our message out there, to let people know that we exist, that we're not in some dark corner somewhere. But we have to also take some responsibility in this. We can't just moan and groan about no one is noticing and no one's caring and I wish they had this and I wish they had that. You might have to make some of this stuff happen. You might have to go out and invent a few things. You might have to make some stuff available out there. It can't just be about why are they not doing anything, because I'm always going to ask you, why are you not doing anything? This is a big problem with marketing and artists these days. They don't take enough initiative. That'll be another show one day, I can promise you on that. But art therapy and A Strange Way is another way for you to be out there. It'll get you a little more used to making contact. It'll get you a little bit more out of your shell. It might even make you a better author and a better promoter of your own works because you're sharing things with people. And once you start sharing things with people who are sick, who are affirmed, who are elderly, who are in distress, you're going to want to share it to the whole world eventually because you're going to feel the confidence that what I'm doing is right. I'm getting my message out there. This is why I created this, so that it can have some kind of an impact. So why not go further? So maybe just art as a therapy is another way for us to start understanding how to promote our own works. And also to try to understand that if we believe the world has issues, well, maybe we might have a few answers for those issues. Or maybe we just have a word to say about those issues. Maybe we can help people together start solving some of those issues. But it's not going to be done in your room, writing on some notepad, sticking it in the drawer someplace, and then wonder why the world is not changed, why it's not improved, why it seems to be the same as it was 2 years ago. You have to get out there and you have to do something. And that's really the last message I have about this show. Art as therapy. It can be exciting, it can be beneficial, it can be certainly rewarding, and it can help everyone involved.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.